come back to shattering this. Let's use our noggins and determine whether or not the Germans could project a force across the ocean and occupy the United States. Because if they could not do so, then Americans who fought in the European theater of World War II were not defending American freedom. If you look at the German situation at the height of German power, before America was firebombing German cities, at the height of their power, the Germans couldn't invade England. Is it 45 miles across the English Channel? They were incapable of invading England, which is considerably smaller than the state of California. So they couldn't invade and occupy England 45 miles off the coast. And someone wants to contrive a realistic scenario where it's 4,500 miles from the coast of Germany to the central coast, eastern seaboard of the United States. Not 45 miles, 4,500 miles. And that Germany couldn't occupy England, and yet it would be capable of invading and occupying the United States. It's insane. For those that think that Japan's quest was to occupy the continental United States, to think that Japan had the capacity to do it, look at a map. Look how far Japan is from the coast of California. About 5,000 miles. And then look at the size of Japan vis-a-vis the United States. Japan is smaller than just the state of California. Imagine Japan saying, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to have 90% of the men between 15 and 45 be sent to the United States, and we're going to have every bit of weaponry we can muster that we can build to go with them, and we're going to send all of that to America, and then we're going to have 80% of, or 90% of Japanese men occupy America with that weaponry so as to make America a slave to Japan. It's not even remotely possible. Not even in the wildest imagination could you conceive a scenario where that was possible. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't have responded to Germany the moment we learned that there were concentration camps and Germany was exterminating an entire race of people. We should have engaged. And there's ways that we could have engaged that would have had a much more efficient process of that war. And yes, when Japan bombed a U.S. military base in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, even though we had taken control of Hawaii under really far less than moral means, we should have responded. But there were ways to respond where we didn't have to sacrifice 300,000 Americans in the process, where we didn't have to firebomb Japanese cities night after night, killing as many as 50,000 Japanese women and children a night. But you cannot come up with a scenario by which the Americans who served in the Pacific theater were fighting to defend American freedom. It's just not possible. I know that's not popular, but that's the reality of it. And if you go back further and you're dealing with World War I, we fought for banking interest. We sent Americans to die, again, based on a lie of the story of the Lusitania. Think of the Spanish-American War and the lie of the Maine and why we actually fought it. It's because we wanted what they had. the Mexican-American War, the same thing. We fought it because we wanted to take what Mexico had. It's not a pretty picture. There is no American that lost their lives in the Civil War that sacrificed their lives for the freedom of Americans. The North didn't fight to end slavery any more than the South fought to perpetuate slavery. It's a travesty that we continue to rewrite history to create the impression that our military is somehow responsible for our freedom. They're not. As a matter of fact, when you combine the annual expense of spying in America, and even the NSA is run by the military, the Veterans Administration and the military budget, combined, it's $1 trillion a year. The cost of $1 trillion is bleeding the country dry. It's making Americans vastly more vulnerable. Every year we squander another $1 trillion when all we do with our military is make bad situations worse. Our military is not providing for freedom. They're consuming freedom. We cannot afford to have a military larger than the rest of the world's combined. When we have it, we talk belligerently. We provoke countries like Russia and China. We are an aggressor. We're living a fable. There is no such thing as American exceptionalism. There is no such thing as manifest destiny. The history of America is of 101 wars. In the 400 years since the first Europeans came here and began to slaughter the native peoples, taking their land. This is not something we ought to be celebrating. It's something we ought to be exposing and condemning. It's this same killing machine that has killed some 4,000 people, civilians worldwide, with our drones. And now we're bringing the drones back home and deploying them here. This is a twisted world, one which we would be wise to stand up and oppose. And yet, yesterday, even as I was trying to be distracted for the day in sports, everywhere it was honor the military and the sacrifice they are making to maintain our freedom. It's not true. And if you have to lie to promote your agenda is not worth promoting. The most vicious international twisting, the worst, most deadly twisted world is the world of Islam. Islam is responsible for 99.9% of the world's terrorist acts. There was a glimmer of Islam at play in the Jewish Museum in Brussels on Saturday, on the Shabbat, as three Jews were killed. And while we do not yet know the perpetrator, they do have pictures of him, but his identity has not been released. The Belgian Foreign Ministry said that it was a terrible atrocity and that you can't help but think that when you see a Jewish museum and murders therein, that this was an anti-Semitic act. And indeed, that's what we will find. This morning, over the next two or three segments, I want to talk about Pope Francis's trip to the Middle East and how devastating what he is doing actually is. He is head of what I think is the single most twisted and deadly institution in human history. Now, while I will acknowledge that Roman Catholics aren't killing as many people as Muslims are today, that the Roman Catholic Church has been at it longer than Muslims have, and that collectively, Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholic Christianity have been more deadly than has Islam. Now, that's a comparison that you ought not want to be on either side of that equation. But here is the head of this anti-Semitic organization. Francis not only opposed the creation of Israel, not Francis, but the Roman Catholic Church not only opposed the creation of Israel, it was born hating Jews. It was born out of a milieu where Jews were scapegoated, and it has never grown out of it. We've mentioned World War II. The Roman Catholic Church did not oppose Adolf Hitler. In fact, there are those who would claim that they supported Adolf Hitler. What we know for certain is with the Ustasis in the Balkans that the church played a very active role, that its fathers and bishops, its priests, played a very active role in running the concentration camps and providing the means to torture Jews and Christians, Protestant Christians, mostly Eastern Orthodox Christians, actually, throughout Bosnia and Serbia, and that they were aligned with the Nazis in the Balkans. And that, as I said, they were opposed to the creation of a Jewish state, even though they claimed to speak for the God of the Jews. They claimed to be the vicar of Yahusha on earth, and he was Jewish. They know that the Torah, prophets, and Psalms speak of the promised land of Israel as being God's. And they know that the chosen people are Jews. And yet, hypocritically, this Pope flew into a place that he called Palestine. And he said specifically that I flew into an area that was under the control of the Palestinian Authority and into a place called Palestine. And I did so on purpose. And yet there is no place called Palestine. There has actually never been a place called Palestine. Even when the Philistines lived in Gaza, they did not call their land Palestine. They were not Palestinians. And they do not exist. They were annihilated long, long ago. The very beginning of Pope Francis's trip spelled disaster. Again, if you have to lie to promote your agenda is not worth promoting. Pope Francis flew directly into what he personally called the state of Palestine. There is no state of Palestine. There has never been a Palestinian people. There has never been a state of Palestine. When the Philistines long ago lived in Gaza and never lived outside of Gaza, they were Israel's enemy. Israel occupied what is now Israel, in addition to, includes all of what would be considered the West Bank. It was all part of Israel. Where he flew was into Bethlehem. It was part of Israel. The Philistines of long ago, this Pope knows. Now, I don't want to put too many thoughts into this man's mind. I am absolutely convinced that if a normal rowboat has two oars in the water, this poor sap has got but one. And he flew into a state of Palestine when he should have known full well that the last Philistine was killed by the Assyrians 2,600 years ago. The only reason that the name Palestine exists today is because after the second time Jews unsuccessfully tried to oppose despicable Roman occupation And this is the Roman Catholic Church, after all, that grew out of the Roman Empire, that after absolutely sickening occupation and oppression, where Hadrian had come to the Temple Mount and standing in the middle of the Temple Mount after his country had destroyed the temple, decided he was going to rename Jerusalem after himself. And that he was going to build not only monstrous temples to Jupiter, but also to himself, right there on the Temple Mount. And that's what caused the Second Jewish-Roman War. Hadrian baited them into it. He knew that there was no way that they would stand for him building a shrine to Jupiter, where Yahweh's temple had stood, where they had destroyed Yahweh's temple. And he knew that renaming Jerusalem after himself and building monstrous temples to himself wasn't something that they could endure. And so he baited them into the war that enabled him to eradicate them, and he all but did. And during his war, he outlawed the Torah, made it illegal. Every copy of the Torah that could be found by Romans was burnt on the Temple Mount. Hebrew scholars were wrapped in the Torah as the Torah was soaked in water and then wrapped around them as they were burned alive so they would burn alive more slowly. Circumcision was outlawed, which means there could be no relationship with the one true God, and salvation was now impossible. He made any observation based upon Yahweh's calendar illegal, punishable by death. If you observed Pesach, Matzah, Bikurim, Shavua, Teruah, Kippurim, or Sukkah, you would be killed. He declared war on all things Yahweh. And this is the spring from which Roman Catholicism and the Eastern Orthodox Church have emerged. In addition to those things, the province of Yehuda was renamed by Hadrian. He decided to call the place Philistia, even though there was no one left there. Yes, he made it illegal for Jews to live there. He killed hundreds of thousands of them after just 60 years previously, Romans had killed millions. And those who survived were all sold into slavery, carried throughout Europe to be slaves. That at that point, he came up with a fictitious name after the enemy of the Jews and decided, I will disgrace them and I will disgrace their God even further by calling the province of Yehuda Philistina. And so when the church promotes that lie, he can go to hell. If you have to lie to promote your agenda, if to make military service look like it is a sacrifice that provides freedom for the country, if you have to lie, then your agenda is not worth promoting. It's not true. The same thing is true with Pope Francis. He deliberately called the place that he flew into Palestine, as opposed to Yehuda, as opposed to Judah, as opposed to Israel, Israel. He knew that there was no place called Palestine. His church was born out of the very empire that came up with the false name. He knows it. When you have to lie, when you have to create a mythical state and a mythical people to promote your agenda is not worth promoting. He then called Abbas a peacemaker. Abbas is a member of Fatah and the PLO. Those are terrorist organizations. He is a peacemaker only in the sense that he wants to tear Israel to pieces. Francis and his entourage flew a helicopter from Amman, it's in Jordan, to Bethlehem, which he called in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. It's not Israeli-occupied. I have been to Bethlehem. I can tell you for certain it is not Israeli-occupied. There are no Israelis in Bethlehem. Long ago, more than 20% of Bethlehem's population was Christians. There are hundreds, perhaps, now. They represent a tiny fraction of the population, perhaps as little as 2%. They have gone from 20% to as little as 2% over the last 20 years. And this pope doesn't have enough oars in the water to figure out why there are no Jews in Bethlehem. How in the world Bethlehem can be considered Israeli-occupied when there are no Jews occupying it? This guy doesn't have enough oars in the water to figure out why there are so few Christians in Bethlehem and how their number has been decimated from 20% down to about 2%. And he calls the source of the rage that has slaughtered them a peacemaker. Then in typical fashion, he says that both sides need the courage to end this protracted conflict. It was a conflict created by Rome. He is the Roman Church. Jews have consistently been the victims. They are not the perpetrators. There is no moral equivalency here. If you have to misrepresent history, if you have to be ignorant of the present, to promote your agenda is not worth promoting. As he was in Manger Square, he was surrounded by a separation barrier, which divides the West Bank and Israel. It's why the West Bank places like Bethlehem are not occupied. They're unoccupied by Jews. And as he traveled, the first news reports was that it was a spontaneous surprise visit to a section of that wall when, in fact, it had been planned. And the very spot for the photo op had been selected. And the Pope played right along with the planning. And he went over to this wall and made it sound like that this wall was a terrible travesty against the mythical people known as the Palestinians. Never bothering to realize why that wall was there. I've been on both sides of that wall. When I met with Al-Qaeda and Hamas and Hezbollah and Oscar Martyrs Brigade, I was taken through a checkpoint along that wall. The last Jew that I had contact with bid me farewell, said, "I will probably never see you again. Where you're going, we cannot help you. You will never return unless you were on God's mission." I remember driving through the streets that the Pope drove through, and all of the businesses were shuttered. The men outside were doing nothing. No one was working. The children were playing guns. As I would go down the streets, I would have little children taking weapons and pounding the windows of the car against the side that I was sitting and pointing the guns at me. It is a very disturbing place. That wall exists to keep the animals away from the civilians. That wall in Bethlehem was conceived after the Intifada, where the head of the PLO, the very organization that Abbas represents, told Jews not to go to work. That even though they, told Muslims not to go to work, even though the Muslims living in Israel were citizens of Israel, which does not happen in Islamic countries on behalf of Jews. even though they could participate in the democracy, even though they were part of the same educational system, same economic system, they were part of the same healthcare system, that they were the healthiest, that they were the most prosperous, they were the freest Muslims in the world, and the best educated Muslims in the world. Yasser Arafat said, "This is an embarrassment to us. We don't want you to go to work again. We want you instead to kill your employers and their families. Slaughter them." And Muslims did. And that wall was put up to keep the terrorists out of Jewish communities. That's why it was erected. Now, to suggest that that wall exists as a means to oppress the mythical people known as Palestinians requires you to completely disassociate it from Islamic terrorism. Why in the world would this Pope allow himself to be seen, pictured there? It's reprehensible. It gets worse, of course. Along the way, the for prearranged stops, this Pope would call Bethlehem and says it looks like the Warsaw Ghetto. What a piece of crap the pontiff is of the Roman Catholic Church. The Warsaw Ghetto was a ghetto because the Nazis falsely labeled the Jews as the source of their shame, of their economic ruin, when exactly the opposite is true with the Jews relative to the Muslims living there. It was the Nazis that rounded up the Jews and then built fences around them. That is not what the Jews did. The Jews invited the Muslims who were living there to partake in this, in their new freedom, in their land, and to be citizens with them and to benefit from the economic opportunities and the political freedoms that would emerge. And it was the Muslims who decided to kill Jews. The Muslims are the Nazis in this case. They're not the Jews. It's the opposite. This Pope had to lie to promote his anti-Semitic mission. Anyone who does just a touch of history knows that the separation barrier was built during the Second Intifada, or Palestinian or Muslim uprising in the 2000s. And it was designed to reduce terrorist attacks, and it was successful. He, even this piece of crap that's masquerading in the white gowns and pagan garb of Christianity as the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church, even had the audacity to call it an apartheid wall, when the opposite is true, and he knows it. Rather than being second-class citizens, as Jews are in every Islamic country, the Muslims living in Israel were full participants in the economy, in the educational system, in the healthcare system, in the political system. It's the antithesis of apartheid. The Muslims living there were the most prosperous, freest, healthiest, and best educated Muslims in the world. If that's apartheid, that's what we need for the whole world. This is absolutely reprehensible. This scum operating as Pope. If you're a Roman Catholic, shame on you. You are no better than those who lived in the apartment building in Isla Vista that listened to Mr. Rogers' rant and did nothing. In fact, you may be worse. Although the Vatican said that the purpose of the trip was religious, political overtones were ever present. Yes, you see that as he had his Sunday Mass in Bethlehem, the Jesus, who last time I checked, Yosha was Jewish. Well, he was dressed in the Palestinian Muslim kefia. His father was wearing the black and white headdress made famous by the PLO leader Yasser Arafat. They dressed him up as a Muslim. Pictures equating Palestinian suffering with that of the Christian version of Christ were everywhere. And they were orchestrated by the Palestinian Authority to recreate history. The Pope never once complained. He never once made the connection. Instead, he bemoaned the fact that in 1948, with the creation of Israel, that Palestinians were forced to abandon their homes. They weren't forced to abandon their homes by the Jews, but instead by the Muslims. Read your history. This man is utterly and completely reprehensible. Everything that he did over these 3 days was dishonest and counterproductive, and most importantly of all, in direct opposition to the Creator God of the universe, while he pretends to represent him. The presentation in Bethlehem and the large billboards that had been orchestrated by the Palestinian Authority to recreate history, to revise history so that the Yosha, who was a Yehudim, he was Jewish, was made to appear as a Arab Muslim, wearing all the garb of an Arab Muslim. That revisionist history is part and parcel of what drove Greece and Rome. They were spectacular at creating histories that were untrue, just as Hadrian renamed the province of Yehuda Philistia. The problem, though, is not just the fact that the Palestinians, to create their claim to the land and to justify the Pope's visit, had to create images of a recreated false history and then talked about the recreated false history as if it were true. The Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, Muhammad Ahmad Hussein, was a keynote speaker, speaking right beside the Pope when the Pope was using the Dome of the Hoofy Print, the Dome of the Rock, which sits on the site of the temple, on the Temple Mount, as a triumph of Islam over Israel and of Allah over Yahweh. With that as his backdrop, the Pope was sitting down. The man who gave the keynote speech was the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem. The Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, his predecessor, was the man responsible for the Final Solution, the man who actually conceived the idea of murdering millions of Jews during the Holocaust as opposed to deporting them after robbing them, which is all Hitler was interested in doing. This man, Muhammad Ahmad Hussein, bears the same last name as the Grand Mufti of World War II fame, who was the head of the Waffen-SS, the only non-German SS units comprised entirely of Muslims. Just a year ago, he preached that the appropriate fate of the Jews is for them to be exterminated. In 2012, a little over a year ago, just this man that the Pope chose to deliver the keynote address on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem had proclaimed that the proper fate of Jews in their land was their extermination. He referred to the Jewish people as the descendants of apes and pigs. Why did he say that? Because it's in the Quran. That's what Allah says. And yet, Pope Francis sat there as this man made a speech right beside him with the Dome of the Rock sitting where Yahweh's temple once stood. And he claims to speak for God. He may speak for Allah, but he does not speak for Yahweh. He is one of many religious leaders that spoke, but none as inappropriate as that experience. When you consider what this Pope allowed to be done, what he said, what he did, who he surrounded himself with, I would tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's no more despicable person in the world today. It is repulsive. The only good news in the whole thing is that Yahweh holds individuals who claim to speak for him and who deceive accountable. Pope Francis will end up in Sheol. His soul will be forever tormented. I wish there was only more that God was willing to do. If you're a Roman Catholic, shame on you. Your twisted, perverted view of history is tormenting the world even today. I had the opportunity to read the Christian view of Jews, just as the Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox churches were being formed, as Christianity was expressing its views. And in our program during the news hour tomorrow, I'm going to share what the first Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox Christians had to say about Jews, so that you know that this Pope hasn't changed, that his church has been responsible for its grotesque presentation for centuries.